Hey, you guys know Corey? Yeah. Corey, come on up, man. Give him a hand. In case you don't know Corey, this is everyone. This is Corey. So, awesome. Okay, so that's off. You have to turn that on. Let's have a... So, invited Corey. Trying to listen to the Lord, right? Talk to you guys about listening to the Lord. I need to do that myself. So something that has really been impressed on my heart through this whole process is that we need to talk about the Holy Spirit. So if you've been here, I guess, the last 3 weeks, last week we talked about, Josh came and shared a little bit in preparation for kind of launching, like a relaunching of our CARES group. He shared a message based on that. He talked about Corinth and about the Corinthian people, and we pulled from some of the letters that were written to the church at Corinth. So today we're going to continue back on to kind of our series, if you will, for tongues, right? I just heard tongues right there, I think. Yeah, that's awesome. So this one can be really divisive, but before we get into that, let me make sure that we keep building on what we've learned. So where we've been was, we've been talking about the Holy Spirit. The first week we talked about the personal and distinct nature of the Holy Spirit. Some people would say it like this, that the Holy Spirit's a person. And I know that sounds weird to us because of the connotation, but that's how some people would say. But the point is, what we learned through studying the scripture, that the Holy Spirit is distinct and personal, even though all God and part of the Godhead was distinct and was given to you to have a distinct relationship with you, and that he applied the work of Christ and the will of God, right? So that we were there. Then the second week, what we talked about was this idea that the Holy Spirit being spirit and being power, Jesus left and thought it would be far better than him walking for the next 2,000 years with us as one man and many people, that he would go to the Father and they would send us this gift, the Comforter, the Counselor, the Holy Spirit. And that when the Holy Spirit came upon them, he would clothe you with power. And so it was this idea, the words were actually a whelming or overwhelming, a surrounding of the Spirit, right? Who surrounded the whole earth at creation, if you remember from Genesis. He floated over the surface, the expanse, the dark of the earth, and was part of the creating agent. And he's also part of the recreating agent in you. And so this idea that we've turned it into like a religious thing, and we've called it the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but that was not what it was talked about in the Word of God, okay? And the letters and the Gospels, it was not said that way. It wasn't a noun or as a thing. It was a verb, something that happened to you. And next, then we want to move on to what are often called gifts given by the Holy Spirit. Before we get into that, and this, I don't know how long this is going to take, not just today, but in how many weeks this is going to take. I've asked Corey to come and talk specifically about this one, but what I wanted to point back, before we get into these gifts, here's the challenge. First of all, the word gift. What do you know about a word gift? Free. It's free, very good, yeah. It's what? Undeserved. What's that? Yours to keep, okay. Needs to be received. This, okay, we can go home now. You guys preached it. This is really good.
We're done.
That's good. Amen. So we want to bring this out first before we delve into this. What you said is true. It is a gift. It's given to you, not something you earn or deserve. Therefore, as the writers of a lot of the letters to the early Christians were always saying is like, I want you to know that God's asked me to do this, but it's him, not me, so that I would not boast or brag. And the tendency is sometimes when we get a gift, we become possessive of it in the spirit. We're like showy with it, right? You've seen that. It becomes like an object of identity and pride. Now, there's something not earned. They're given to you. Therefore, you have no right to boast about them. The reason why you get them is to bring glory to God and to build up the body of Christ or the church. So if I'm using my gift to tear all of you down or make you feel bad about yourself, I've already gone wrong. Okay, now, not so fast though. It doesn't mean that every use of the gift is gonna be pleasant. Sometimes being loving, right, Brandy, we've learned this, sometimes being loving isn't necessarily telling somebody what they want to hear, but what God wants them to hear, because it's for their good, not for their comfort. Very different. But it should not be used to tear down. And when we do things spiritual, we become aware through the Holy Spirit of what God is up to in an area that we can't see, right? It's this idea of bringing the kingdom of God here now. Not a future date, but here now. We participate in what God is doing in the Spirit. And he gives us different gifts because we're supposed to be a group. This is why did you come this morning? Well, my husband or my friend dragged me and I really don't want to because church is useless, full of hypocrites. Welcome to the gathering of hypocrites. I'm glad you're here. But we're supposed to be a body with complementary parts. So we use these gifts in order to work together, right? So we're not feet trying to brush hair. We got hands for that. We do that, but we can't forget in this. We got to keep coming back to. We can't forget God in us, the power that gave us the gift, and not lose track of God in us, the Holy Spirit, right? In an effort to watch and glorify the gift, the thing. Okay? So let me pray. Now that we set that stage, let me pray before we get into this. So just something. I'm intentionally like coming against us getting too religious, because I find in myself too much religion. And what I've found is I'm becoming more open to the Spirit, whatever you want to think that means, right? You have a connotation for that. But being more led by the Spirit and less led by the flesh, that there is a tendency of two camps. One who is very more spiritually conservative in their religion, and one who is very extreme spiritually in their religion. And they're battling for you the minute you open yourself to this. And if you haven't done this, then try it and watch what happens. It's fascinating, right? And so I'm fighting that. I want to be someone who stands with the Lord in truth and in power in the middle here. So let me just tell you this. I'm going to pray right now, and here's what God, the Holy Spirit's been impressing on my heart. Sometimes when I pray, I used to always do this, you know? Even my wife's like, where do we get that, right? Like my head's bowed down, right? Or maybe you're crossing your arms. And it's like the feeling is like I'm closed off and I have everything that I need. And I didn't always quite understand. One day, actually, when I was a late teenager, I went into a church and someone next to me was doing this while they were singing. And I'll be honest with you, it made me a little uncomfortable, right? I wasn't used to that. I was like, is that okay? I don't know. And now I've come to love it, right? I know you're watching us, me and my wife doing that, but you'll see, I know you are. It's weird, but yeah, I get it. But it's just how it works. But you might see me even do this when I pray. And the reason why I'm doing this, and you might want to try it, not for religious sakes, but simply to say, God, you have more than I know now. And instead of I got it and I'm closed off, instead I'm beginning to start to say, I more often need to say, Lord, like Spirit, I mean, you're in me, Holy Spirit, but you're surrounding me too. And this idea of being filling by simply looking at the words, I've learned that being filled with the Spirit is not only can be like a pouring and infilling, but also can be absorbing what's around you. So like when I pray now, I'm like, okay, Lord, whatever it is, man, bring it. Like I want to receive it, right? Receiving the gift. Whatever it is that you want to show me and show the people around me, whatever you want to do in the fellowship of believers that you've put me responsible over, do it. So if you see me do that, that's why. Don't imitate it for religious purposes, but if you want to try it to see how the Spirit works in you, do it. It's awesome. It's more better than, right? Like sometimes it's exciting, right? Like Jesus won for you, right? Isn't it true? I was watching a video, some guy was doing this when he was singing. I'm like, can you really do that when you're praising God? He was literally like, yeah. And before I'm like, I don't know why he's doing it, but now I'm like, cool, because you're excited because Jesus won, right? So get excited that Jesus won and it's not for you to win anymore. That's worth getting excited about. Even if you show off your boomer moves when you're doing it, you know, that's okay. I got teenagers, sorry. You have to find my language. Okay, Lord, we just come to you, Lord. I appreciate your humor. Yeah. I thank you for my brother, Corey. I know that he walks with you. He walks in the Spirit, Lord, loves you. I thank you for everyone here today. I pray that you would open our eyes and our ears open our spirits to receive truth, Lord, that we would learn and we would grow from you. I pray that Corey and I wouldn't get in the way, but that we would be vessels in which you could pour out your truth and your spirit upon all the people here. I know that they were never intended to follow you, to worship God, carry out his plans without the power of the Holy Spirit in them and through them. It was just never intended. And we've gotten taught wrong, a lot of us. So Lord, teach us fresh and new. Fill us fresh and new for what you have for us today and tomorrow. I pray your protection over this, Lord, as I know the enemy is the author of confusion and this all can get so confusing. So we surrender our right to understand and our right to be right. We surrender our fear. We surrender our pride. And instead, Lord, we just receive you, your truth, your grace, your love, your mercy, your forgiveness, your spirit. Thank you, Jesus, for winning the victory for me, for Corey, for everyone here. So we just praise your name. Amen. Okay, so something, the Holy Spirit, right? Sometimes the Holy Spirit will actually show you something new in a scripture you've read a lot. You had that happen? I've read this before, but I didn't see this before. So I was reading this, and I wanted to share it with you because it kind of shares the concern in my heart for the believers. Paul is writing to the church at Corinth. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1 says, "And I, when I came to you, brothers, did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom. For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling." Familiar. Like, I've read this. I remember that. Okay, then he goes on to say, maybe. Verse 4, he says, "And my speech and my message were not implausible." Maybe a better word for translation is persuasive, words of wisdom. "But in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might not rest in wisdom of men, but in the power of God." And when I read that, and the Spirit showed me this afresh, here's what I'm reading in this. Is Paul said, first of all, Corinth, right? We learned about that last week. It was kind of this port town. So a high pagan worship, concentration, lots of lusts, right? Eat, drink, be merry, have lots of sex, temple prostitutes. Very dramatic culture. Very, when you live that way, if any of you have or been around people, you're like, roller coaster of emotions, up today, down tomorrow, right? As opposed to a very more liturgical, proper Puritan type of way of living where it's very, you know, pragmatic and practiced. That's not how these people lived. So Paul, when they became Christians and when you became Christians, you didn't change your personality overnight, right? This rebirth happens, then you have to learn to walk again, talk again, eat again, use the bathroom again, everything like a baby, right? You don't. Parts of you is transformed, parts you have to learn. So he came to these people who honestly sound a lot like us because we're crazy impulsive here, right, in our culture, most of us. He came to them and he's like, "Listen, I don't want to come to you with an intellectual argument, because if I did that and I presented the good news of Jesus to you and this, then your whole faith would be founded and based on what you can know and understand." And he goes, "That would be a disservice to you." What I would appeal to you, a lot of us actually came into faith that exact way. And the result of that in itself is people who live in such a way that it's like their own power, their own understanding. They want to study the Bible deeply, but have no interest in experiencing God, and frankly, it freaks them out. And the world around them says, "Well, you're pretty smart about the Bible, but you seem to be pretty miserable. And you don't have more freedom than me. As a matter of fact, you have more rules than I do. And I don't want to go where you're at." Okay? And he says, but instead, it wasn't just the words of wisdom and argument, but in a demonstration of the Spirit and power, so that your faith might not rest on the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So your faith actually should be based on some kind of power, Our faith rests in the power of God. Okay, now, okay, let me put the brakes on a second. Because now all of a sudden you want to think, if I say that to you, right, Corey, that there's no place for truth, wisdom, or study. That is not true at all, right? God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship him in spirit and in truth. John 4:24. But what I've learned trying to walk in the spirit more is I can know more, understand more, comprehend more when the spirit teaches me than when I use my own wisdom to understand it. So the spirit isn't the absence of knowledge and wisdom. The spirit is the source of knowledge, wisdom, understanding. What do you want? What do you say about that?
I think that's where both of our camps are. We got the Baptist camp and we got our Pentecostal camp. Right. And it's true. And we don't agree on something. Mm-hmm. We don't agree on how the Spirit of God is used, right? And the Baptist camp said we need to stay in truth and the Word of God, that's what we need to do. Pentecostals got the Spirit and started to set the world on fire and do some really weird things. Mm-hmm. Okay? And a little bit about my background. I grew up in the Assemblies of God. So my background is Pentecostal. I grew up in that crazy church. a lot of good things came out of that church. A lot of good teaching comes out of that church. A lot of great people are in that church. Am I saying they're wrong? No, I'm not saying they're wrong. I'm saying we need to study this scripture for ourselves. We need to be in control of our spirit and not let it go wild and burn somebody, because if we burn somebody, that's not good. God didn't come here to burn people. God sent Jesus here to love people into the kingdom of God. And we'll get there, kind of setting the...
Yeah.
But love needs to set the limits for everything we do. Yeah. It needs to all be wrapped up in love. And so this worship in spirit and in truth, that seems to be our camps. Pentecostal spirit. We're going to go out there and we're going to speak in tongues. We're going to prophesy and, you know, shake the chandeliers and roll around on the ground. Seen it. Been in services like that, okay? And I've been in Baptist services too, you know, where nobody claps. And there are some Baptist churches that are, you know, Bapticostal. Right. So I've been in both camps, and I'm in a church now where we don't have camp, really.
right.
And I've been sitting back there going, okay, where are we going to go? What's going to happen from here? And when Pastor Will said, we're going to start learning about the Spirit, I said, oh, okay, here we go. And what I'm excited about here is we get to learn and we get to study this together. Yeah. We leave our Pentecostal stuff here. We leave our Baptist stuff here. And we, as a church, get to come together and figure this out and study this and love each other in this, have grace enough for each other in this, that we grow and that God's name gets lifted up in Prescott Valley and that he gets worshiped and everybody else just stays in the background and just does what he's at, does right. What's asked.
Yep.
I don't know if I answered your question.
That's perfect, that man. That was good. Yeah, so you could see this. That's the Lord brought us together because I grew up in a more conservative background where the Holy Spirit was like, I always say, and the Holy Spirit. Like, you just quickly mention it because if you go there too much, people will abuse it. That's kind of how that camp feels. Like, I don't know, I've seen some things. I feel like it's being abused. So rather than treading lightly into that area, you just sort of stay away. And a lot of you came from the middle ground, but I think that's what we have a chance. And I think that's what God's about here is he's taking us back to his word as the starting point and the Holy Spirit teaching us through that and us walking out what it is to be a congregation of believers. We're just trying to seek that. So yeah, Linda, this isn't working, so we'll have to have you do that. Okay, so let me share with you gifts. So we're going to talk about one of the gifts today, but we're getting this from 1 Corinthians 12, beginning with verse 4. So verse 4 says, "Now there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it's the same God who empowers them all and everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good." Verse 8, "For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, and to another faith in the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by one Spirit." Verse 10, "To another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues." That's what we're going to talk about today. "To another interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills." So that kind of leads to this, one of these first questions that I think we need to ask before we go forward. I've got scripture to back this up, but it'll take too long, so that's for another day. But let me just tell you the question you should be asking, because there's a division, right? The Spirit and gifts were supposed to unite us. And our enemy is the confuser and the distorter, right? And the liar. And he's brilliant at what he does. Because he took the one thing that was supposed to unite us by one Spirit and one power, and he's made it to divide us. That we actually have to ask this question: should followers of Jesus still be receiving and using these gifts from the Holy Spirit? And there's a section of believers, right, that say no. We'll get to what, we'll go to their argument at some point in time. And then there's a group that says, yes, we're still supposed to use that. So Corey and I, even though we come from different backgrounds, we agree in our church here, we agree that we don't see evidence that they have ceased, because the perfect has not come yet. And so if we want to start back at scratch, right, okay, teach us to walk, talk, eat, sleep, go to the bathroom again, Lord, as we're a new child of Christ, let me put this to you, that the gifts should be operating. As a matter of fact, they still should be used. And they should be used to bring us together and to bring glory to God. Not glory to you, and not to divide. So today we're going to talk about, and I'm going to put it just as it put it in the ESV version, so that we take religion out of it: gifts of various kinds of tongues. That's how it says it, 1 Corinthians 12. Well, okay, next question you might heard answered, another divisive question. Should everyone who receives the Holy Spirit and speak in various types of tongues? There is an argument that says that's the evidence of receiving the Holy Spirit. If you haven't done that, then you haven't received the Holy Spirit. I've had this said to me, because as I'm stepping into the middle ground, the other camp tries to pull me in, and they say, you know, Will, that was a great word right from God, man. He was speaking through you. The anointing is there. They said that to me, and then they said, you almost have the Holy Spirit. And it dumbfounds me, because I think they checked their logic and reason, right? Full of Spirit and truth. Full of truth would say, I couldn't be walking in the Spirit, anointed, speaking God's word to you, and then not have the Holy Spirit. One plus two doesn't equal 12, right? So this is the argument we use that to divide. Here's the funny thing. If the gifts weren't supposed to be used and you were faking it, is there anywhere in the Bible that it would tell you that you don't get God's grace or the salvation of Jesus Christ? Did you read anywhere where it said, you were right, you're in, you were wrong, you're out? Never. So we argue about things that really don't keep us from being one body with Christ, right? And we use that to divide each other. Ridge, let's not do that. That's trash. So should everyone who receives the Holy Spirit speak in various types of tongues? And this has become divisive amongst believers.
The Assemblies of God, and I only can speak for them. I can't speak for Foursquare or anything else. Assemblies of God believe that. The initial physical evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, right, like Will said last week, they made it, you know, a thing instead of a filling. So the initial physical evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is speaking in tongues. Right. That's what I grew up with. I had to learn that because I was a minister in the Assemblies. I had to learn that and prove it before I could get licensed to be in the Assemblies of God. I believed it. I did believe it. We'll find out today if I still believe that. But as you can tell, I'm not in the Assemblies of God Church this morning. So that should give you a little hint. But
yeah,
that's my two cents.
Yeah, no, and I appreciate that. And hopefully you understand we're bringing this out. Like, I grew up in a Southern Baptist environment, and there we didn't really want to talk about that. So it was almost like you wouldn't get the gifts of tongues even if you had the Holy Spirit, you know? It wasn't necessarily said in the church, because, you know, any church of any denomination might operate a little bit different based on the leadership, right? And especially in some loosely held denominations, you got all sorts of belief systems. But there is these two ideas at play. Well, let me give you this. 1 Corinthians 12, Paul's writing, right? He's talking about the body of Christ again, how we're all given specific gifts, and the Holy Spirit gives it to you as he wills, right? Not something you earn, not something like your merit badge, right? Like, you did this many fires, now you get the campfire badge. That's not what it is. Like, you said this many Arabic words, so now you get the speaking in tongues badge. That's not the way it works, okay? But he's saying it's given by the Holy Spirit. The purpose is it brings you together, right? And you become one. You become the body working together. And then he says this, 1 Corinthians 12, 29, if you're following along or taking notes. Are all apostles? Question mark. Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? Now eagerly desire the greater gifts, and yet I will show you the most excellent way. And then chapter 13 is what of 1 Corinthians? What do we call it? The love chapter, right? So it's like, not everyone, what Paul is saying, as I interpret it and understand it, is everyone going to have every one of these gifts? No. Like, if you were the body, and you were all feet, what good would that be, right? Who would speak? You know? What about opposing thumbs? What could you do if everyone was feet? It would limit you. Like, are all going to have these? No. But eagerly desire the greater gifts. And not only that, he's like, I'm going to show you even better. What you all should do is this: love. Love overall. Okay, so I present to you, and I would also say that if you look in the scripture, especially you go through Acts, you'll see lots of accounts where someone received the Holy Spirit and they didn't speak in tongues necessarily. They might have prophesied or they showed courage or faith when they didn't have it in a natural term. Some might argue it was implied that they had tongues, but it didn't say it, okay? It didn't say it. So that's the answer that I, as I pray, as I sit with the Lord, as I depend on the Holy Spirit and I go to the scripture, I'm seeing, Paul's like, and he says, I wish all of you would speak in tongues, but there's more important things than that. Like, to say, you're not all going to, you're not all gonna heal, you're not gonna all prophesy, but want these higher gifts, eagerly want to be used by God, that's good. Let me go on to the next thing before we kind of talk here then. So if you look at the Bible, you guys are doing great staying with us. I want to get you this information. Two main types, right? Tongues of men, it talks about. And what? Let me tell you what I mean by that. Tongues of men and angels is how the translated language is. Tongues of men, so like Pentecost, Acts 2, right? They're all gathered together. You find this in Acts 2, and I've shown you verses 1 through 8, Acts 2, 1 through 8. What you're going to find there is there, because of the Passover, right? At the day of Pentecost, because everyone's in the city, it's full of people who speak tons of different languages from different lands, who are Jews, who are there. And these men, who are Galileans and other untrained fishermen, they're in this place, and the Holy Spirit falls on them as it was promised. And they began to speak in other tongues, right? As the Spirit guides them. And the men start coming out of the woodwork, and the women sure too, and saying, wait, that's my language, right? But these guys aren't from my home country. How in the world are they speaking about God in my language? And they're blown away. So you can see that in the Bible, there's an example in the New Testament of the Holy Spirit giving you a knowledge of a language you don't understand for his purposes. And then the second piece is tongues of angels. So Paul's talking about that in 1 Corinthians 14:2. He says, "For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people, but to God. Indeed, no one understands them. They utter mysteries by the Spirit." 1 Corinthians 13, once again, it's Paul. He wrote, "If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal." So I want to offer you to this because you need to know, whatever camp you're in, if you look at the evidence of the testimonies that we've put together called the Bible, the Holy Spirit has caused men and women to speak in foreign languages they didn't know, and what seems to be angels of tongues that no man would understand unless Holy Spirit gave them guidance in that. Fair? So if we want to unlearn the bad things and just go back to the, here's truth, right? Truth, I say this to you in love. If you don't believe both of those two exist, then you're disagreeing with Paul because he talked about both of those. And I know we were talking about this in an experiential way. I don't know if you want to share a little bit about that.
So with my background, I saw a lot of things going through the Assemblies of God that weren't genuine. You'd be in a room or you'd come up to the front of the church and you'd get prayed for to speak in tongues. And it's kind of like peer pressure, right? If you don't speak in tongues, you don't fit in with the crowd. And if you don't fit in with the crowd, soon enough, you'll go find another crowd. And so I saw a lot of ungenuine people saying they got the gift of tongues. And I wanted this gift. We'll get to that part later. But I still, at that time, I had received the Spirit, received tongues. But I saw a lot of ungenuine tongues happening just because they wanted to fit in, right? Peer pressure. And so I went on a missions trip to the Philippines. And we were there with our missionaries that we were hanging out with, and it was amazing. Like any time you get to go on a missions trip, go on a missions trip. It will change your life. Just being around those people was amazing. And the Spirit of God that they had was amazing. And just the fire they had to do what they had to deal with all day long and then come and just love God, it was amazing. Well, our missionaries were taking us to the house of this man called Pastor Ramos. And they were telling us a story on the way there, saying that a missionary come to this pastor because this pastor was going around the whole nation of the Philippines starting churches, building people up, making waves for God in the Philippines. And this missionary told Pastor Ramos, "Your ministry is not going to be strong enough or what it could be unless you know English." He only knew Spanish and he only knew Tagalog. And the missionaries were telling us that that missionary prayed with Pastor Ramos and he received tongues. He could speak English. And I was like, "Oh, that's pretty cool." Mm-hmm. Right? I'll believe it when I see it. Okay? So we went to this house. We sat there. Pastor Ramos, his family, great people, love God, definitely love God. You could feel just the goodness in the house, right? And this man was speaking to us in very broken English, like hard, very difficult to understand him. And so my reasoning was, okay, maybe he got this gift and it's just not working right. God, do you give us broken gifts?
Defective gifts, right? Yeah.
And so I'm thinking, you know what? He may have just gotten the courage to start speaking English. He knew a little bit of it. And so I just left it at that and said, okay. So we went around the day, and then that night we're supposed to go to a camp service, right? Tons of people were there. This man of God got up on the stage and started speaking in Spanish and preaching in Spanish. Then he said, "Clear as a bell. Now I'm going to speak in English for my English people, you know, that have come, you know, from America." And he spoke in English, clear as a bell, no hitch, no broken English, different man than I saw in the kitchen of his house. And I knew in my spirit that God did that. Mm-hmm. When he was talking to me, there is no reason for God to, hey, your soul's in jeopardy. No. When he's speaking to a group of people and asking people to come and get saved, that's when the operation of the tongues happened for Pastor Ramos and people came and got saved. So that was my experience with tongues of men. God giving somebody a language that he didn't have before. You want to go with mine?
Yeah, let's go on to, you just keep going with whatever, all the story you want to share here.
Okay. And so when I was younger, growing up in the assemblies, it outside of my church, there was pressure, peer pressure, like I said. You needed to speak in tongues, right? It's the initial physical evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You need to do this, right? If you're going to be a minister, if you're going to be a pastor, if you're going to be any use to the church, Corey, you need to learn tongues. You need to get this gift. Like I could just grab it and take it, right? That's stealing. So I sought this gift. I was hungry. I was thirsty. I wanted this because my elders, my leaders said I needed it. Inside my church, I had an amazing pastor. His name was Pastor Steve Harris, and loved the man to this day. He gave me the freedom to seek the gifts, not in pressure, not in peer pressure. He let me seek God freely, not sitting me in a room and saying, say these words, not saying, okay, you need to go hang out with Sister Jonah. She's going to make you, speak in tongues in 2 hours. None of this.
Guaranteed.
Right? So he let me freely go after the gifts of God and the youth pastor. Youth pastor was great too. I sought and sought and sought and nothing happened. Nothing happened for the longest time. Long time, years. And one night I was fed up and said, I'm done. You know? I am not going to make myself get this. And it was at a youth service one night, and we had a special speaker. It wasn't even the youth pastor speaking. And I can't tell you what the sermon was about. Don't have any clue what the sermon was about. All I remember is at the end of that service, there was an altar call. And it wasn't, I don't even know if it was, come and receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit. I don't even know if it was that. All I know is I told God, I said, if you're willing to give me this, I'm willing to take it. And I love you. And I just want to be used by you. So I went up front and I started to pray, started to sing, and just love on God. Yeah. The next thing I know, I'm waking up on the floor in a dark room. They turn the lights off on me. I don't know how long I was there. I got up and I went to the administration part of the church, and my youth pastor is sitting in his office. He goes, oh, you wake up. That's good. I'm like, what's going on? And he goes, man, that was awesome. You spoke in tongues and you were doing this and doing that. And I'm like, I have no clue what happened tonight. He goes, really? I said, yeah, I don't know what happened tonight. I remember waking up on the floor. And so I started to doubt. Of course, Satan comes in and goes, gift, right? Yeah. No, buddy. And then I was like, okay, my pastor said I was speaking in tongues. And if I don't remember that, I need to do, something needs to happen. And so I started just praying. And then I found out that I could speak in tongues. Nobody was there telling me this is genuine. Nobody else but God was there telling me this is truth, this is right. And still to today, like my kids, my 17-year-old and my 14-year-old, They would say, Dad, you can speak in tongues? I say, yes, I can speak in tongues. And they say, well, do it. And when I, even when I say that, it makes something like twist inside of me, kind of cringe, because it's not a show, yeah. Right? It's between me and God. Yeah. Me and God have this language. And when I speak this language, I don't just say random things. It is random, but in my head, I'm praying, God, forgive me. I know I messed up there. Please help my friends. Help my dad. He's in the hospital. That's true right now. I'm praying in my mind, but the Holy Spirit is using the language in accordance with that, praying in the Spirit and in truth. So those are the two main testimonies I had.
So, and you would say that the gift that you've gotten, you can see it's a tongue of angels, not a tongue of men. So it's the other type, right?
Yeah. And I've never been led to use it to speak to another group of people.
Right, right.
You know? And it's not like I hide it. It's not like I'm sitting back there and praising God and worshiping God, and when it comes time to speak in tongues, I go, and right. If you're around me, you'll hear it, okay? So, and I think that's what today is about, mm-hmm. is we don't want you to feel stifled,
yeah.
Right? We don't want you to feel like, oh, I can speak in tongues, but I don't want to do it around here because people are going to make fun of me or they're not going to accept me. We want you to feel free. Like my pastor was free with me to go ahead and seek these gifts. That's our heart this morning, is we want you to go and seek these gifts. We want you to be the men and women of God for the Ridge PV that lifts his name up, that causes glory for God and causes us to unite, not to separate. We don't want this to separate us.
Yeah, that's well said. Just a couple more questions. First of all, did you ever feel, like growing up in that kind of environment, did you ever feel pressure to kind of fake it till you had it?
So I'll answer that, yes, of course.
Right.
Because it was like the key. If you didn't speak in tongues, you kind of couldn't even pass on. You couldn't, because the test to be a licensed minister, you had to believe in this, and you didn't have to perform it, but you had to definitely tell them, yes, I can speak in tongues to be a minister in the Assemblies of God. So it was the key to your future in that church, right? Yeah. And that being said, you also felt that you were kind of a second-class Christian if you didn't speak in tongues, right? If this baptism didn't happen, then you were saved, but you weren't special, mm-hmm. I guess. Because once you did get baptized and you started speaking in tongues, then you were kind of a part of the in crowd,
yeah.
Right? You're just one of the boys, one of the people,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, because I've heard that too, and some of you might have on the other end. Maybe his background would have been like, if you don't speak in tongues, you can't rise in leadership in our church. Where my background might have been, if you did, you weren't welcome to rise in leadership in the church. So there's different types of backgrounds, right, that you have. But, you know, over this time in the spiritual journey that God has me on, you hear these things like, okay, you want to speak in tongues, you just speak. Just speak it. Speak what? Just some sort of Arabic sounding words. This is, I've actually been told this. And so I know that this is out there too, and you might have had that, and it's kind of like, and I actually went, and they said, you're doing it. I'm like, I'm not doing it. There's just nothing there, okay? And so maybe the Holy Spirit met you, maybe you did that, like, you're like, aka laka baka, right? And all of a sudden you're like, wow, okay, I'm doing it, right? Like maybe the Spirit met you there, and it's not my place to judge you now, but it is my place as a spiritual leader. Here's the commitment I'm giving to you. Is spiritual leadership is important when it comes to the gifts, because there is an orderly way to do certain things. That's what I'm asking God to show me, but I don't want to be part of a fellowship of believers that stifles the power of God, like one-third of the Trinity. walking without that is a tremendous shame, you know? Linda, would you go to 1 Corinthians 14? It's a few slides ahead. Let me share this with you. And then anything else you want to add to close. 1 Corinthians 14, go read this. This is important. Verse 1, pursue love, right? We keep coming back to that. You see that? Like, that's awesome. If you got prophecy, gifts, healing, that's really cool, but all that's like secondary to the pursuit of love. And earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. We'll get to that another week. For one who speaks in a tongue speaks not to men, but to God, for no one understands him, but he utters mysteries in the Spirit. So if you look at that, can you see how, if you have this gift, I'm challenging you to be full of the Spirit and truth, and to understand that you simply yelling it out loud to everyone is really doing no good, because no one knows what you're saying, right? So this is what he's saying, pursue love, but you know, especially that you prophesy, for the one who speaks in a tongue speaks not to men, but to God, like Corey said. It's a language, he's praying, joining God in the Spirit of what he's praying for, what the Lord's praying for, and it's between them. It doesn't have to be loud. It doesn't have to be at 10:15 every Sunday morning like clockwork. We don't tell the Holy Spirit what to do. We follow him. We don't harness him. We don't stifle him. We go with them, but we create, as this book that Brandy was reading, you know, There's a flow like a river, the Spirit, right? Like the wind. It's something you can't control. All you can do is create banks in which it can flow and operate. So that's why we're here. So for no one understands him, verse 2, but he utters mysteries in the Spirit. On the other hand, the one who prophesies speaks to people for their upbuilding and encouragement and consolations. Coming back to that, there's a purpose for these gifts. The one who speaks, verse 4, in a tongue builds up himself, but the one who prophesies builds up the church. Now, I want you all to speak in tongues, but even more to prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets so that the church may be built up. Verse 9, so with yourselves, if your tongue you utter speech that is not intelligible, how will anyone know what is said? For you will be speaking into the air. We don't need that, right? Speaking into the air. There are doubtless many different languages in the world, and none is without meaning. But if I do not know the meaning of the language, I will be a foreigner to the speaker, and the speaker a foreigner to me. So with yourselves, since you are eager for manifestations of the Spirit, strive to excel in building up the church. So I think what I would love to add, this isn't a situation to trick you or to pressure you, but I think as believers, first of all, if you're not a believer, well, let's have some more conversations and pray together about what's in the way. And I'm here for that. Corey's here for that. Also in the back, I know they would love to pray with you, talk with you. If that's a consideration, you're like, I'm not so sure. I'm on the fence. I'm not so sure if I believe. And now you made it weirder because you're talking about speaking in tongues, Will. But, okay, yeah, I get that. But I'm excited because if you got a new faith, at least you'd get it without the baggage that some of us have come into that with. That this is a thing that the Holy Spirit will use. And if you see him using it, you don't have to run the other way, right? That we should eagerly want the spiritual gifts, but more so we should want the higher gifts. And more so we should desire the highest gift, which is love. How will we walk this out? To be determined, right? Let's see what the scripture said. Let's walk in the Spirit, figure out how in our community we can walk this out.
Yeah. So when I was in college, I came back home. The youth had a trip to go to camp. And I was sitting up in the front of this van driving, and a conversation broke out in the seat right behind me about the Spirit, about power, about living for God. And well, God said that, you know, when he left, or when Jesus left, that we were going to do more things and more powerful things, right? And it was these two guys, and it was talking to this girl. Don't remember any of them anymore, but I remember the conversation. And in the conversation, at the end, the period, the punchline from the girl was, then why is there no power? And I think that's what's missing, is we're not being led by the Spirit enough, or we're not giving ourselves over to the Spirit enough to walk in that power. And that has convicted me to this day. Those words are still in my head. I don't know the people anymore, but those words are still in my head. Why don't we see the power? And I don't want us to be seeking the power. I want us to be seeking Christ, God, and he'll give us the power. Mm-hmm. But it says we'll walk in power. And man, I don't know, maybe that's a little convicting this morning. Why aren't we walking in power?
Yeah, I appreciate that. We want to have a little time to pray, but as on my heart, right, the pastor's heart that I have for all of you, even the ones I don't know, that I trust God brought you here for a reason, I don't want to happen to the next group of 18 and 19-year-olds that happened to some of us when we were there. And I think this is it. We're giving them a faith and a foundation based on the wisdom of man in a world full of science. And that's not to hate on science, but you guys understand, science always starts with an opinion. Right, you get that? And then I use data to support my opinion. It's the same as a Christian argument. You can use the scripture and argue whatever really point you want within reason. So if our faith is all based on our ability to know, understand, and comprehend what God is doing, we've lost it already. We've lost it already. And I can't, as a man that God's called out, continue to lead people down that wrong path. Can't. And I can't sit by quietly while people hurt other people with the abuse of these gifts. I just don't want to stand in either camp. I really don't. And not even to call out groups. I want to seek God in all wisdom and all truth. I want to walk in the Spirit. I want to know. I want to have wisdom, and all of it's going to be driven by the Spirit. I want to have power. Like, if you, like, imagine this. Imagine, like, if God was just sharing something with you, and it was like a prophetic word, that you had somebody you could share it with. And that if it rang true, it might be told to other people. That would be cool. What if you were actually hurt or sick, and you believed that God could heal you? And he did. Now, what would your 17 and 18-year-olds think if they started being invited to come into a place where God was real and good and powerful and loving, and he worked through the body of Christ? That would be awesome. I want to be part of that. Corey wants to be part of that. Even though we come from a different ground, we come to this agreement like, hey, I was wrong for even looking at the people doing this when they were singing, being like, I don't know if that's okay. Or like they started praying in tongues. It's like, what kind of possession is this, right? This is where you come from. Wrong view, okay? But I still can't come across, I'm here to blah, 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 to all you. Why did you do that, dude? I don't know what you said, right? You wanted to show me you were more spiritual than me. Wrong, wrong, wrong. Let's not do that, but let's not stifle anyone who's trying to follow the Lord. Let's offer an environment where we can be honest and go to the scripture and say, if it makes you uncomfortable that people get healed when you pray for them, sometimes, and sometimes they don't, your problem is not with me, it's with the Word of God. If you think every time someone speaks in tongues that it's trash and garbage and not true, wrong, not always. Sometimes, yeah. Every prophetic word, none of them are true, wrong. All of them are true, wrong. Because your flesh, unless you're like our brother Kit, right, who went to be with the Lord, he shed all this flesh crap that gets in the way, you're still suffering from it. You're gonna have a great word from God today, and you're gonna feel an impulse to have it tomorrow. And you're gonna pray in tongues today at 10:15, and so next Sunday at 10:15, you think you should do it again. You're gonna pray once, and someone's gonna be healed, and the next time someone's sick, you're gonna say, pray for healing. Wrong, ask God. Maybe God wants them to die. You say, yeah, maybe. Maybe he doesn't want that healed. Maybe he's using that. But if we don't walk in the Spirit, we don't know. We don't know. We're a group of people trying to play nice, who are like, pray for me, I have cancer. Okay, I will. And then we go home. And then the people who have the story, they're like, well, yeah, my mom, she died of cancer. It was awful. It was like 3 years, but I found God, and now I'm going to heaven. But see, the Christian world we live in, they would have never prayed for her mom to suffer for 3 years and die of cancer. But in the kingdom of God, the angels rejoice because now her whole family and the generations after her go to heaven. And her mom, any good mom, would gladly die so that the generations after them could be with them in heaven. That's the spirit. That's not the flesh. We got to stop that. Right? Amen?
Amen.
Okay. Worship team, why don't you guys come on up? Me and Corey are going to pray. We'll turn on the lights just because it feels cool and it feels like less people are staring at you. If that offends you? Yeah, would you? We just want to pray over you. No tricks, no agenda, just coming before the Lord, asking him to lead us as we go step in step with the Spirit, as we become a people led by the Spirit and not by ourselves. Let's just pray.
Lord God, we love you. We thank you for everything that you've done for us. You are so worthy of praise, worthy of honor, worthy of glory, and let us not forget that. You are our King. You are our Savior. You died for us. You died for this world. You died for our coworkers, the students that are studying next to us. You died for them. And Father God, help us love most of all. Mm-hmm. Help us love those people in our lives. It gets so hard sometimes. And this year is like no other year I've been alive. It is so hard to love right now. It's so hard to keep our minds focused right now. It is so hard to spend time with you right now. Because we got so much of this other stuff going on that has taken time away from us and trying to figure things out. We just love you, Father God. Help us love those that are around us. And help us feel secure enough in you to seek your gifts, to seek those things that you want for us, to seek those things, Father God, that are going to light Prescott Valley on fire for Jesus Christ. Not a fire that burns and destroys, but a fire that excites and brings people to Christ. A fire that is so holy and pure that it drives the enemy out screaming. God, we want you. We want your power working and flowing through us. We love you so much.
Yes, and Holy Spirit, we just thank you. We know that you're the helper and the counselor and the power of God. Clothe us in your power and teach us what that means. God, could we be a people who don't only see healing and praying in tongues, but we see people who forgive things that shouldn't be forgiven. That's you. We see people that know things they shouldn't know. That's you. We see people who have patience, which doesn't make sense, which is you. We have people who love unconditionally, which is you. We have people that are gentle and kind and self-disciplined and all these things that aren't sexy. They're not dramatic. They don't come with tongues of fire, but they're you too. And then, Lord, would you heal people? Do things that are miraculous that make us look twice. Would you have people in our service, Lord, even here as you lead them, as we're singing, that they would pray in tongues of angels and agree with the heavens of what's going on, that people's hearts should be impacted and changed, Lord, but that we be full of spirit and truth so that we're not full of the spirit, but then we're falling apart the next day, Lord, but that we're full of the spirit and full of truth and full of grace and full of love and full of patience and full of peace and full of truth. And sometimes we fight and sometimes we hug and sometimes we yell and sometimes we whisper like you. But we can't do it in our own power, Lord. We can't do it at our own beck and call. We can't do it when we want to, but we want you to do it. And so Jesus, I pray this day that you would give us fresh filling. The Holy Spirit, a fresh filling. And I don't know what that fresh filling is going to do. Maybe it's going to help us sing like never before, like 75 Mariah Carey's up in this place, Jesus. Maybe that's what's going to happen. Maybe we've been resistant, hands closed to the Holy Spirit. We need to just be bowled over by him right now. I pray that that would happen, Lord. Maybe we need a hug. Maybe we need a cry. Maybe we need a dance. Maybe we need to go to our brother and sister and tell them sorry or give them a hug. Whatever it is, this is the time and this is the place, Spirit, use us. We surrender our fear. We surrender our pride. We surrender our entitlement. We do this because of you, Jesus, and your finished work on the cross.